Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I'm delighted to welcome back to the program Charlie McDermott. Charlie is the founder of the Business and Entrepreneur Network, and it helps small business owners build valuable. I did say it right. I looked at it and went, whoa, that's wrong. Scalable and sales. You ever have those days, Charlie? I know you do.
Oh, yeah.
Try it again. Valuable, scalable, and saleable businesses by building direct response marketing assets and automating systems and processes. And Charlie is also very well versed in using a secret weapon that's legal but extremely lethal to keep his clients' competition off of Google. And we're going to be talking about that today. But after spending 22 years owning health clubs and fine-tuning his marketing craft, he sought out a bigger challenge in Hollywood, California. And that's where he used over 20 different forms of media to break through the clutter and land his son acting roles in feature films and television shows, including a full-time gig as Axel Heck on the hit ABC comedy The Middle. Charlie works with hundreds of entrepreneurs every month online from as far away as Australia and via live events held in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. Now, Charlie was here in May, and our topic was, you're working too hard, exclamation point, how to stop selling and increase sales with automation. Be sure to listen to that episode. Just do a search in Blog Talk Radio, either his name, Charlie McDermott, or my name, Denise Griffiths, or in iTunes. You'll find us there as well. Charlie, thank you so much for coming back today. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
I appreciate the invite. It doesn't happen too often for me, so this is new.
I don't believe that for a moment. I mean, you shouldn't start off a show lying to the host. That's bad. Anyway, I'm so excited. We have a ton of things to talk about. I have a whole bunch of questions for you. Before I start pelting you with them, can you tell people, and I will, can you tell people a little bit about yourself and where they can find you on the web?
Absolutely. I'm the founder of the Business and Entrepreneur Network, affectionately known as BEN, B-E-N. Our website is www.benresults.com, and I've done it all. The bricks and mortar world, I had a health club chain for 23 years. I sold that to help my son live his dream in Hollywood. So he and I jumped in a car and drove across country, and I spent 2 years in Hollywood, as you heard, using every marketing weapon I could think of to help him break through the clutter and be one of the 3,000 or more competitors, also known as actors, vying for each and every role. And,
waiters.
And, yeah. We struck gold, and fortunately, he had some acting talent. So it's as you business owners out there, it's got to be, marketing is important, but you got to have something to back it up. So he's now on TV on the hit show The Middle, which we just watched Wednesday evening, the premiere of season 5. So that show has been on for now starting 5 years, which is amazing.
I didn't know that.
Means I've been back here for about 7 years, back here being in Pennsylvania. And that's when I started working with small business owners and helping them figure out this marketing thing. And this marketing thing for many business owners is kind of a mystery. They don't really know what works, and many of them get frustrated and give up and miss out on building assets for their business that continues to keep that funnel full. A few years into it, as we talked about last time, I guess in the spring when I was on your show, Denise.
May, I think.
Yep. The big, what I call, aha I had when I made our small business owners very good at marketing, or helped them get good at marketing, there was a big challenge with that, and that was they got very, very busy, and many times it ended up in frustration because they couldn't keep up with it, or they had to stop marketing in order to take care of the fulfillment side of the business, and then they'd have to start up again, whatever it was, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years later, and it was always that kind of a vicious cycle. So I started incorporating systems and processes and teaching them how to automate that so that they could continue to market without them having to do it all. So, yeah, look that podcast up from whatever it was 6 months ago, because there's some great nuggets in there. We're going to focus today on the marketing side, and a weapon, a secret weapon that I use really back in my health club business as early as 1990. So I'll fill you in on that story as well. So how's that? How's that for an intro?
It's great, but I have a question. Now I have questions. I have more questions. I mean, you said that you sold your chain, I don't know how many units you had, to go off with your son. That is a massive leap of faith. And I'm not sure a lot of parents would have the stomach to do it, no matter how much they love their kids. Do you mind sharing kind of, seriously, I don't know that I could do it. I mean, I don't know too many people who could. Do you mind sharing a little bit of that story? Because I'm fascinated by that. I mean, what kind of led you down that path? What experiences did you have? Did you ever have moments when you went, oh, crap, what have I done? I have to know.
Absolutely not. We knew from the get-go we were going to be successful. Yeah, right.
There you go.
You know, it's a process. And we also, and you'll hear, if you ever hear Charlie talk about, when he gets back to Pennsylvania a couple of times a year, and maybe once a year it coincides with our business and entrepreneur events, and I'll have him come in and do a kind of a Q&A session. And oftentimes it's, you know, kind of that question is asked, and his response is, well, I'm lucky I have two parents that are insane, because no sane parent would do such a thing.
See, I didn't want to say it like that, but thank you. I mean, you know, you are my guest, and I didn't want to call you a nut. So.
Absolutely, positively. You know, it's like all things in life, it's a process. I spent probably 3 years, my wife and I, going back and forth, traveling to New York City, where he could audition for everything from bubblegum commercials to feature film and TV shows. And he was fortunate to get some gigs, but many of them, you know, the industry is all about rejection, and 99% of them he did not get. But quite a few of them he came very, very close. And these were major starring roles in feature films that were being cast out in Hollywood. And it just became... A couple things became clear right around this. This started at age 13, and he got a role in this film called The Village, M. Night Shyamalan, who happens to live not too far from where we are, and most of his films are filmed in the Philadelphia area. So Charlie ended up getting what we thought was going to be an extra part, you know, just kind of someone in the background, and he ended up getting a speaking role, and that led to actors on the set like Joaquin Phoenix and William Hurt and Sigourney Weaver saying, Charlie, you should pursue this. You're pretty good at this acting thing. So I started taking him back and forth to New York 2-3, sometimes 4 days a week. And over a period of time, he ended up getting real close to these roles out in Hollywood. And now he's about age 15, going on 16, junior in high school. And my wife and I are talking, and I'm saying, you know what? We'd love to see him go to college. We figured from an early age he would probably go to some kind of a film school. But the reality is right now, the second he graduates from high school, we knew he was going to make a bolt out to L.A. So I said, here's a crazy idea. Why don't we give it a test run? And I'll take the hit. And being that it was now going on October, November, and the cold winter, Pennsylvania winter was at our doorstep, I'll make a big sacrifice and go out to Hollywood with Charlie and live there for 6 months, and let's see what happens. So
that was really big of you.
That's the kind of guy I am. So I said, you know, and three things could happen, two of which would be perfect. The third would be a nightmare. So the first best thing that could happen is we go out there and nothing happens. it's, are you kidding me? This kid has no talent. Go back home to Pennsylvania, which my wife and I would be like, yes, now we can get him back here and he can focus on college. The second best thing would be, okay, he gets some roles and we go, yeah, maybe this kid does have some talent. All right, super. And the third thing, which is the worst case scenario, is neither happens, but there's signs that something good could happen. And then it's like, what do we do? So the 6 month experiment turned into a 12-month experiment, and I ended up staying out there really for 2 years. But it wasn't until after month 12 that he got his first role. So we did tons and tons of auditioning, and I did a lot of marketing, which helped him get auditions. And very relevant to business owners who begin marketing, and they're like going, ah, this doesn't work. What was happening is we were – I compare it to bamboo. The roots were growing underneath the surface. We couldn't see it. But, boy, come month 12, man, bam, all of a sudden stuff started just shooting through the soil. And if we had given up,
month 10.
I'd
be
talking about the 6 months I stayed in Hollywood and yada, 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 right. Which, hey, maybe is okay. So I kept marketing, and he kept auditioning, and we just felt that month 6, month 7, month 8, you know, we were getting some feedback. It's hard to get, you really don't get any feedback from casting directors. They just kind of say, hey, good job, kid, next. And but he was in running for a number of different shows and movies and callbacks, so we figured, all right, there's got to be something here. Well, 12 months come and go. And we've had a number of conversations, what do we do? Oh, my goodness, are we out of our minds and all that? He finally gets a part. And the part is for a movie called Sex Drive. Now,
the what?
It's called Sex Drive is the title.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one, okay.
It's because you're not 20-something. If you are 20-something, even actually, an interview I did 2 weeks ago, the gentleman who was interviewing me was 32 or 33. I said Sex Drive. He's like, oh, my goodness, that's so-and-so. And he started singing Charlie's Lines. It's like this.
Oh,
if you're in your 20s, early 30s, and late teens, you know this movie. You know all the lines in the movie. It's like a classic cult favorite. But this movie did the theatrical run and all that. It's just that it appealed to that group. So, but you can imagine now. So here we are, a year in Hollywood. You know, our friends and family who thought we were insane before we left. Now, I know we were insane, but it's been 12 months and nothing's happening. My goodness, I'm turning the TV on. I don't see Charlie anywhere. I say to Charlie, and back up a little bit. I'm giving you all the gory details here. So my mother was actually a Catholic nun before she married my dad. So very, very small period in her life. And so needless to say, you know, kind of religious background and family and all that. So I say to Charlie, once he gets that part, you're calling Grandma and telling her this. But you can also imagine, like, my friends and family, when they hear Charlie finally got a part, it's for a movie called Sex Drive, and they're kind of in their mind going, oh, so they've resorted to porn now. You know, they've gotten that desperate. You know, they can't make
that's
rent. Okay. That's what happens. I can hear the family reunion.
I can hear it. I'm standing underneath the tree listening to everybody go, I can hear it. I know how families operate.
That actually evolved into the directors of that movie did another movie. They literally wrote a part for Charlie in that movie. It led to guest starring roles in The Office and Parks and Recreation and obviously eventually this gig on The Middle. So it's so far so good.
Marketing works. Marketing works. Now, I have to know, who told Grandma?
You know,
does she even know?
I'm not even sure we told her. I know for a fact she never sold a movie.
Well, I would imagine. But you said something, I love that story, but you said something at the beginning of this where, you know, people will start marketing. Now, you never stopped with Charlie, which I think was really key to your success, that and his talent, obviously. But, you know, you would say that you get people marketing and then they would have to stop and pull back and then start all over again.
Yep.
To me, that is horrible. because you've lost your audience. You're no longer a resource. It's like starting over all over again, and that's tough. That's tough on your audience. It's tough on you. So if what I'm hearing from you basically is that if I'm understanding correctly, Charlie, that marketing is an ongoing effort. You may ratchet it down. You may settle down and just become a resource rather than trying to sell something, but you're kind of always out there in front of your market. Is that correct?
Ideally, that is the best path.
Yeah,
now, it's very expensive to start the machine again, both from personnel to just getting re-engaging with your audience.
Mm-hmm.
So the best case scenario is to systematize it so that, even something as simple as your marketing campaigns throughout the year, do everything you can as you're planning these out to use them again the following year. Ideally, keep track so that you can improve upon them, but if you have a St. Patrick's Day promotion this year, make darn sure that you use that again next year so you don't spend time having to recreate something that's already been created. And, you know, for a guy that's been doing this for going on 30 years, I can tell you I've done many a campaign, and then I've looked back at my files and said, oh, my goodness, I did 80% of that 5 years ago. Why the heck? You know, you just completely forget about the stuff that you've done or your team has done. So, have a system and just work. Use what's working and no need to reinvent the wheel.
Now, I have to ask, and let's go back to Charlie just a bit, because this show is really about you, but Charlie is a huge part of it because he led you into marketing. I mean, by hook or crook, you got, you know, your path changed dramatically when you went from health club to New York to Hollywood and into marketing.
Definitely. Another big aha for me was, wow, you know, the marketing that I was using for my health club business for 23 years, I didn't know any better, and I really used the same concepts for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, geez, this works in the entertainment world and the health club world. My goodness, I can come back here to Pennsylvania and help any type of business get more customers. So,
Right, and that's exactly right. So it seems like it was, you know, your path was kind of laid out, wasn't linear, but it makes sense when you kind of lay it out like that. It's like, okay, that makes perfect sense. The whole part of your story that I like is that you had to make this massive decision to sell a business that was successful, go off, literally step off the precipice into the unknown, and then come back and build another really successful business. That's the entrepreneur story that I'm always so intrigued by. You know, you do these leaps of faith, and then you go, I have skill sets that I didn't even know they were a skill set, and by golly, now they make sense. Let's do something with this and help other people with it. And I love that story.
Well, thanks. I think we entrepreneurs really enjoy pain because, you know, much like the Hollywood story, you know, once it's over, you look back and go, oh, overnight success. Oh, yeah, it was so easy. The same way with starting, you know, starting up a business. Man, it is painful. The fear, the unknown, not having a list. Where do you even begin?
Seriously, I have Tums in my house everywhere.
So much easier just to get
sick in my house, you get
aspirin,
you get Tums or cider vinegar. That's it. and I have Benadryl in case you get bit by a wasp, but that's it. That's all I've got. Scary, but, you know, I think, do we even know any better? I think that's the real question.
Yeah, and you know, it's that the grass is always greener. There's no perfect scenario out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one thing that would make me very, very unhappy, and that would be, you know, the old being chained to the desk and having a job. It just would drive me insane. So as painful as starting all over again was, I knew that, you know, I loved it. I would still get up at the crack of dawn and earlier with full of energy because it's something that, painful in many ways, but also keep your eye on the prize. I mean, if I continue to bust my butt and do all the right things, I knew that I would get through this and get to where I wanted to be.
Well, and honestly, I think that we all have cast iron stomachs. I mean, we really do. And I'm not sure how to explain that any further than that. We have cast iron stomachs. Fear is something that we're looking at every day, but it's almost like the ceiling fan that's blowing a breeze down on your head. You know it's there, and you can kind of feel it, but it's not going to crash on your head.
Yeah, I think it's part of growth.
If that makes any sense at all. It is. Yep. If you don't have that little bit of trepidation or that little bit of, what the heck am I doing? Oh, yeah, that's fun. Let's go do this. It's exciting. Maybe we need excitement. I don't
Absolutely.
Know what it is, but
Absolutely.
But all I know is if I'm like you, I am unemployable, period.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make that as many mm-hmm. syllables as you want. I am unemployable. I cannot work in somebody's office with other people. I run with scissors. I'd mow them down. I can't do it. I won't do it.
You won't subject yourself or your coworkers to such a preposterous situation. Yeah.
You do not want to be around me. You just don't. I need to be off doing my own thing. But I think so many of us are that way. We just get up every day, and we just go do. We know that we're on the right path. We know we're doing the right thing. And we have little failures every day along the way. But for some reason, they don't stack up high enough to stop us.
Yeah. It's, you have your moments for sure. And
mm-hmm.
In those days, my coping mechanism is just get through the day, get a decent night's sleep, and tomorrow it'll look completely different. It just sometimes fatigue can really wear on you, and you just have to know that, well, whatever it was may have won the battle, but the war is still going on, and I will win it. And you get up the next day and you have at it. So eventually you do a good day. For those of you challenged and struggling out there, trust me, it will come. Have at it. Keep going.
Even my bad days, and I don't have them very often because that's not my temperament, I guess, but even my bad days, I'm like, that wasn't so bad. I'm still walking.
Yeah.
Let's keep on going.
Yeah.
And that's about the only way you can look at it. But what I wanted to talk with you about today was marketing, and you did a superb, superb job with Charlie. And you help so many people locally and internationally. I mean, marketing clearly is just a part of your DNA. But you do it in such a way that it doesn't feel like marketing. And I think that puts you at the top of the pinnacle because, Charlie, nobody wants to be sold to. Nobody. I mean, nobody wants to feel like you've got a hold of their collar and you're going to yammer at them until they buy that car. I mean, nobody wants to be sold to, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah. So you do, what I think you do is very, very smart in that, you're always offering up information. We can call it marketing. It is what it is. But you're more of a resource than anything is the way I look at you.
Yeah. You want to guide people, help them to their solution, to help them, whatever it is, ease their pain or make them aware of other opportunities, and providing them the content, the resources to help them see that is really, really important in today's marketplace for sure, regardless of the business you're in.
Right. Well, what I really wanted to talk with you about today is local marketing. I'm 100% virtual, and I don't know a whole lot about local marketing. All of my clients are literally scattered all over the world. Some of them have brick-and-mortar businesses in conjunction with their online businesses. Most of them don't. So local marketing is kind of, educate me, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I know
it's critical. I know it is so, so important for people to market locally and on the Internet, and I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. I'm going to start off with a stat. I mean, it's... And this just continues to grow. But right now, 80% or 87% of local business searches begin online. With my business and entrepreneur network, we have probably 80% of our members have some kind of a bricks and mortar business, an HVAC company, a landscaping company, and so on. A lot of dentists. And in even in my health club days, most of our customers, not most, all of our customers came from anywhere from a 5 to a 10 mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no need for us to worry about prospects from other states or beyond the area where it's just not reasonable for you to drive. And that's
right.
The way it is with most local businesses. You know, even those who have an online presence, it involves a pickup or a stop-in, and therefore they just need to focus, which is a good thing, on the local community, however they define
right.
that. So with that in mind, it really becomes critical that you look at, and there's two ways to look at Google and the other search engines and page one. You know, one way is how many spots can I occupy, and the other way is how many of my competitors can I push off of page one and really banish them from there. And we're going to talk about that in a bit here. So that's a very, very powerful strategy. And by the way, those of you who don't have a bricks and mortar or local based business, you can still tap into this strategy. So don't feel like you're excluded here. Everything I'm going to cover applies to both online and offline businesses.
Okay. Well, I am all ears.
So,
I'm taking notes, actually.
Well, let me go. Let me know if I'm going too fast.
Okay.
But the let's talk. Let's start with this secret weapon, and it's a weapon that is only secret because very few business owners use it. But we're all familiar with it, and that's video or a video camera or some kind of mechanism to record video. All right, and we'll talk about different ways that you can record video because it doesn't all involve holding a video camera or a smartphone. But this mechanism, this video camera has the power to do so much for your business. And, I mean, even going back to my first health club, so I opened up my first health club. I was in college in 1984. 1990, one of the local health clubs went out of business. The landlord called me and said, "Hey, Charlie, love for you to come in and occupy this space." So I went in there literally the next day. The place was a disaster. This was 1990. The place looked like it was 1960. I mean, outdated fixtures. The equipment wasn't updated since 61. Dirty, dingy, you name it. And it had thousands of In fact, just about everyone in the community was a member there. Now, they were
really?
A member because they bought a lifetime membership back in the 60s and didn't have to pay anything since. So you wonder, what's wrong with this business model? It's hard to believe they went out of business. So we had to convince them to begin paying if they wanted to stay in that club, which fortunately my son, the now actor, was born. He's our oldest, and he was literally about 2 months old at the time. So I made sure he was in my arms just about every hour I was in that club so that when the member who was being told that they had to now pay to be a member of that club, you know, started to get irate and come to me, they'd see the baby and they just couldn't yell. It's like, oh, my goodness, how old's the baby?
Marketing.
It worked out very, very well. but I had 3 months. I was given 3 months free rent by the landlord until I had to start paying a significant chunk of change that I didn't have at the time. And getting close to that third month, I'm going, we got to do something here to bump up membership so I can afford the space. And that's when we started our TV show. And we did both a fitness show, and my wife, who was involved in the business with me, was back then it was called aerobics, now it's called group exercise. She did a group exercise TV show, and it was on local cable access, and we overnight became instant celebrities. And it sounds kind of weird. It was actually kind of strange. I mean, you go to your local Denny's, and the waitress would be going, "Oh, my God, you guys are the guys on TV in the fitness show. Wow." You know, and Barb and I are looking at each other going, "We're just doing a hokey little fitness show." But
and you think four people are watching it because it's, you know, public access.
It was amazing. So not only that, but we saw our membership begin to skyrocket because this was, again, this was a dingy club. We're competing against other clubs that were 10 times better, and we're knocking their socks off. In fact, we ended up two of them ended up knocking on our doors, actually three of them, knocking on our doors asking us to buy them out because we just slaughtered them. So I ended up with,
wow,
with a five club chain pretty soon after. But the lesson there was video, in this case, you know, was our TV show, extremely powerful. Folks got to know us, total strangers, before we even knew them. It would bring them into a place that they would have never gone to before because they felt like they could trust us. They liked us. And they, we were kind of that home-based gym that they could feel comfortable at. So video can do exactly that for anyone's business, for regardless of whether you're online or off, and you can do it for a heck of a lot less, because back then, you think about it, I had to pay a production team to come in, a truck, they had cameras and cables and the editing bay and the van, and then I had to pay for airtime and all that crazy stuff. And, well, today, none of that is necessary. You
right.
Can,
anybody with an
your
iPhone
airtime
can
is
handle
free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So there's this TV channel out there called YouTube that anyone can sign up for and not have to pay a penny, and they will actually help market you for you. So we'll share some nuggets there as well on how that, that all works. So that weapon allowed me to take my health club business from really one location to five locations to eventually a $20 million over 100,000 square foot facility, and I still use video. Now we stopped doing the TV show because all these cable companies kept getting bought out and bought out and bought out, and then eventually Comcast bought them all, and the market area, we couldn't focus on our little, in this case, Westchester area. We had to be like in a tri-state area, which didn't make sense for our health club, so we stopped doing that. But I didn't stop video. And we continued to do that in our health club business, and I transferred that over into now my marketing business. And at that point, it was kind of great timing because YouTube came into existence, and it really lowered the cost and allowed us to do so many more things. So those of you who are not aware of YouTube and the power there, it is surprisingly for a lot of our my clients and our members, they aren't aware that YouTube is one of the top search engines on the internet. You know, they're obviously familiar with Google and so forth.
Right.
But, you know, there are people that go into YouTube, and many listeners go there all the time to, especially if you're looking for the how-to stuff, right? You know, how do I do this and how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
You're going there. And even for local businesses, there are folks searching for your products and services on YouTube. So you want to be a part of YouTube. If you get nothing out of this today, get on YouTube, get a channel, and then take away some of these nuggets to get a few videos at least on there. So it's a big search engine, and you now have the ability to, at a very, very low cost, get your what I call the KLT factor out there, that know, like, and trust factor. Many of my clients, and I'm sure for most listeners out there, you know, trust today is an extremely important part of the taking your prospects from being a prospect to being a customer. You know, it's not all about price, and it's not even all about value or service in many ways. It's, can I trust this person? You know, if something goes wrong, you know, can I know, will I be taken care of? And if you can build that trust factor through video, one, it's going to save you a heck of a lot of time because you don't have the time to have those conversations one-on-one. You probably aren't going to be the type of person that's going to make the tour, you know, being on stage, which is a very effective way of building trust and building relationships. But let's just put those two off the table and look at video as being the best, easiest way to really be one-to-many. Writing's great. And advertising and all that, yeah, expensive. But boy, if you can put all that inside a video, and I can see you now, and I can hear you, and I can see your body language and all that. I relate it to, hey, put yourself. Last time you saw a movie, let's use I just saw a DVD preview of the Brad Pitt zombie movie, whatever it was called, World Z or something. Let's pretend you watch that movie at the movie theater, and then you walk outside and you see Brad Pitt walking down the sidewalk. All right. Wouldn't you expect Brad to be just like that person in the movie? I get the question asked all the time of my son. Oh, my goodness, was he like that as a teenager? You know, was he that Axel kid? You know, this kind of like everything's lame and he wants no part of the family and all that. And they just assume that he was like that as a teenager, which he was the complete opposite. But in that is the powerful message that you, and this is not about, you know, lying or being dishonest. It's the video allows you to ingrain in your audience's mind exactly who you are, what you can do for them, and how you can help them better than any other medium known to man, pure, plain, and simple.
I can see why that would be absolutely crucial for local businesses.
Wow. And how it differentiates them from everyone else, because, boy, if there's ever, you know, the online folks have kind of figured this out, still not many doing it, but more than the bricks and mortar world. Bricks and mortar world, they're just, you know, they're camera shy, it's too technically advanced, you know, most of them are not that familiar with the whole internet thing anyway, and now video, and how does that work, and YouTube, man, you know, that's just for kids. Why would I want to do anything with my business on YouTube? Now you're hearing less and less of that, especially now that you're seeing Fortune 500 companies spend a significant amount of money to be on YouTube, but it's for them, it's a headache. So there are, you know, some certain things that you want to do that will allow you to get your videos, kind of get the most bang for your buck out of your videos, because the last thing you want to do, and this happens all the time, is finally a business owner breaks down and says, all right, Charlie, you're right. I really need to do it. I get it. It makes sense. They record a video. They put it on YouTube, and crickets. No one sees it. No one watches it. Doesn't appear on the search engines, and they stopped doing videos because, of course, video doesn't work. Not for me. My business is different. Yeah. So we're going to keep your audience, we're going to keep that from occurring with your audience. So I forget his name. It's going to come to me. Oh, I don't want to take credit for this, but if the name comes to me, I will share it, but I was at a seminar a while back, and the speaker talked about Google being a big, dumb computer. All right? So we hear you know, about the wizards at Google and the algorithms and, you know, the most intelligent people in the world, and you could never figure it out. But at the end of the day, Google is still a big, dumb computer, and if you just dot the I's and cross the T's, that computer will identify you and pick you up and put you in the rankings.
Right.
So,
sounds like something Seth Godin would say.
Yeah, and I can see him, and it wasn't Seth because this particular individual really focuses on video as well, and it'll hit me before we get off here. I just can feel it coming.
3 o'clock in the morning, you call me.
Today's, I found out who won.
I'll be awake. I will. It's a sad thing.
Oh,
I will.
Yeah, I've created an open loop. No one will ever sleep again until I close this with the name of the person responsible for the big, dumb computer statement.
I'm Googling. You go ahead and talk. I'm Googling.
When it comes to YouTube, you want to make sure your videos get found because there are, you know, I don't know what the number is. We'll just use gazillions of videos out there. So if you just create a video, and guys, this is me. I mean, way back when I did my first YouTube video, I just created it and put it on YouTube and just figured that this real smart Google computer thing would figure it out and would put me where I needed to be. And that's so not the case, but most business owners operate under that assumption. So when you upload a video to Google, to YouTube, by the way, Google owns YouTube, for those of you who aren't aware. So when you upload a video to YouTube, you just want to be crystal clear as to where you want to send that video. It's like you're going to get a bullet, and you're going to have a series of targets out there in the range, and you need to pick the target that you want to send that bullet to, and ideally you want to hit it right in the bullseye. So I'm going to teach you how to hit that bullseye every single time. So lesson number one here is you get one bullet. You're not getting 12 bullets. This is not a shotgun, and you're going to shoot, and hopefully you get some pellets on all the targets. All right, I want you to pick one target. And one target means one keyword phrase, one town, whatever it is. So we do a lot of work for attorneys. We do a lot of work for insurance agencies of the world. And both extremely competitive when it comes to getting found on Google, especially in the pay-per-click world. I mean, you might pay as much as $10, $15, $20 or more for certain keyword phrases. And we're getting not just one video found on page one of Google for those expensive keyword phrases, but multiple. In fact, sometimes we occupy the whole page, which sounds crazy. I mean, for one of our accounts, we have dominated the whole page of Google for wedding insurance for this insurance agency. So they are the, when you think about it, they don't have any competitors. When was the last time you went to page two? I mean, just for fun.
I never do.
Right.
I never do.
So if you're not on page one, you don't exist when it comes to the online world. All right? So not only does that mean now you, in essence, you take your competitors off of Google by popping these multiple videos on page one, it means also that you build the relationship right away, that it saves, in some cases, saves your staff time from having to answer questions because the videos will answer some of the questions. Oftentimes, watching one video leads to watching another, to another, to another, and after 15, 20, 30 minutes, it's like the video sold them on your product or service. So now it's just like instead of a phone call that says, hey, can you help me, tell me a little bit about Prada, hey, what's price, blah, 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 the conversation now is, Charlie, I really need your help. And it's not about price because they're already sold on you. They know they need you. And that's where everybody wants to be. And that's what video will help you do. All right, so back to getting found, it starts with picking a target. So your target is your keyword phrase. And you're, in this case, if it's a local business owner, your town, all right? So it's not going to be every town under the sun in your geographic area. Pick one, all right? Now, you know, you're going to obviously want to do more than one video, but let's stick with the one video. So your keyword phrase, your town, and you're going to incorporate that into your title. So the title of the video is has your keyword phrase in it. Your description in the video has your keyword phrase in it. Ideally, it's in there two or three times. You don't want to spam it, all right? But, you know, if you only have one sentence, you don't want to put your keyword phrase in that sentence three times. But if you have a 500-word description, you want to put that keyword phrase in there probably two or three or four times, all right? And the live, so we've got title, we've got description, we have now tags which YouTube really, in other words, is keywords. All right, so your tags are really important, obviously, because that's what these search engines use, in this case, YouTube uses to classify, categorize your video. All right, so you want to be consistent. So you got your keyword phrase in your title. You got your keyword phrase in your description a couple times. You've got your keyword phrase in your tags. All right. Ideally, it's your first tag is your main keyword phrase. You've got your town in there. And then the final piece is the actual video itself, the file name. So typically what you're going to upload the video is a QuickTime file, a .mov, or it's an MP4, a .mp4 file. So what you put before the .mp4 or the .mov is the what? It's the keyword phrase that you're going
not
to use
untitled.
In the title.
I see that all the time. Untitled. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Yep. All right. Now, as soon as you change the title in the title, the video, you know, the untitled .mov or MP4 will disappear. But it's been shown that these search engines use the file name also when it decides who to rank higher. All right. Mm-hmm. So this will allow you to have all your I's and dotted and T's crossed so that when the big dumb computer goes down its checklist of, okay, keyword phrase, cool, title, awesome, description, you have to be in there a few times, awesome, tags, okay, cool, oh, file name, very, very good. Okay, ding, 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 we have a winner here.
Well, it's kind of like putting your meta tags in images when you're building a website.
Yep,
very important.
Much.
It's kind of the same thing. I have to ask you very quickly because I know I'll forget it. Do you recommend that when, let's say it's a local business, do you recommend that the first word in their title, in their copy, in their tags, should it be the name of their business?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay.
Yeah.
Explain that one to me.
Yeah. And again, keep in mind that to do this right, you want multiple videos. So some videos, quite frankly, would, especially if you're finding that people are searching for your name. So if you have a well-known name in your marketplace and people are searching for that, then I would definitely create some videos for that. Now, also keep in mind that if you're well-known in your marketplace and people are searching with your name, then there's a good chance that, unless they incorporate the niche, so if it's Joe's Pizza Shop, as an example, chances are you're probably going to get some other pizza shops on the page. But if it's McDermott's Athletic Club, which was my health club name, maybe I'm going to get more of my, you know, you get my blog page and you get my home page and you get maybe some videos and you're going to have less and less of the competition. So I tend to be more concerned about the general keywords if someone's looking, as an example, for a fitness club. I want to make sure I occupy that, and I'm less concerned about my name because if someone's searching for my name, it means we probably already have a relationship or they've been referred to us by someone, probably a customer who really likes us.
Okay. That makes sense.
And that's why my first response is absolutely not, because I'd rather, you know, you're going to have limited bullets. Now, you can create your own bullets with making more videos, but if you really want to get your biggest bang for your dollar, focus on, you know, the folks who don't know you, who are doing general searches for a fitness club, as an example, for an insurance agency in your marketplace, and not your name.
Gotcha. All right?
And it's really standard direct response marketing concepts. I mean, those of you who are direct response marketing fans, you know, really it applies here. We're not trying to brand ourselves, although it happens by nature because it's video and they're going to see you, they're going to see your company name in the video. But we don't want to lead with that because that name, unless you're a Fortune 500 company spending $200 million a year, that name's not going to mean anything to them and it's just going to lump you in with everyone else, and we don't want that.
Mm. Okay, this is good because I actually have a client who is a local fitness person. So I'm picking your brain for free. I hope you don't mind.
No. Pick away.
That's the only response you could have, I know.
They can, I mean, so many things they can do with video. But, you know, our case, my last club, I mean, we had nutritionists on staff, fitness, personal trainers, fitness, swimming coaches, dance instructors, summer camp folks, basketball coaches, and on and on and on. Day spa. I mean, we could have created 100 videos in a day just going around the club with a video camera and having everyone share just a little nugget of expertise in their area.
Right.
I mean, you guys can create these videos really, really fast.
Oh, yeah, especially with an iPhone, an iPad, Mac. It's just so easily available.
Yeah.
My next question, though, is, and I don't know if I'm not even sure how to ask this, really, but bumpers, you know, the intro bumper and the exit bumper. What are your thoughts on those?
Absolutely positively for lead gen, traffic generation videos. You always want to have, and again, this goes back to direct response marketing principles. You always want to have a call to action. You always want to be able to. You don't want to make folks have to work to find you. So, if someone finds your video, always ask yourself: a total stranger finds your video. If at any point in the video, they go, "Huh, I want more."
Right.
it better be darn easy for them to find your phone number or your web address, or ideally both, especially for the bricks and mortar world, and anything else. And then at the, you know, it doesn't have to be the end, you know, it could be throughout the video. Give me a reason to go to your website. Give me a reason to pick up the phone. You know, is there a free report? Is there a, this is video one of a series of five, you know, how do I get the other four? Send me to a website that, that requires me to give you information. Absolutely.
Now, have you heard of ViewBix? Have you looked at that?
It's, you know, I see stuff all the time, and I saw something recently about them. I look at these. Give me the answers. I can't remember if I've looked at, the, at ViewBix.
Yeah.
Is that the video player?
Well, basically, it allows you to add action apps to your videos. You can custom brand it. You can add your social, you know, your web, your mobile, your social. You can, add your Google Analytics. I actually had a conversation with them about adding bumpers to it because it looks, it's a little bit expensive, but for bigger things it might work. But I'm choking today. I think there's a huge market, not necessarily for ViewBix, and I'm not promoting them, but it kind of goes back to what you're saying. YouTube is now allowing a lot more than they used to in terms of call to action and adding these bumpers and adding music. It used to be you couldn't do a darn thing. But, you know, they're being a lot more flexible because they understand the marketing aspect of it. So I think we're going to continue to see a lot of changes in how you can actively market on YouTube.
Both YouTube and video in general, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some very, very cool WordPress plugins that you can use. We use, from a training standpoint, I subscribe to so many dang things. And this is another video application. Just to give you an idea, so you could send an email out with a link to a video, and you could track how much of that video your audience watched. So if we send it and you click on it, Denise, and you watch 25% of that video, you're going to get a different email than, let's say, John clicked that link, watched the video, and he watched 100% of the video. He's going to get a different message than you. And that's all done with very simple-to-use plugins and a platform like the ViewBix that I can't remember the name. There's so many options out there.
I'm not in love with it, but, you know, I like the idea of it. Yeah, and that's the only reason I bring it up.
But, you know, for you guys listening, if you go, you know, my eyes are glazing over, or there's so many plugins and this and that, you know, forget about all that. YouTube, you know, it's that 80-20 rule. YouTube will give you the 80% for 20% of the effort. So just get started with creating a video, put it on YouTube. Once you get comfortable with that, once you begin to see results, then take it to the next step and look at, you know, other things that you can do with video that are almost limitless.
And you have to be consistent, though, don't you, Charlie? I mean, you can't just kind of put one or two up and go, and then come back a year later and expect to have the same audience. I mean, that's silly.
Yeah, you do want to be consistent. But I'll tell you what, again, another plus for video is we advertise in a newspaper, a magazine, put an email out. I mean, marketing is pretty much short-lived. But with video and for our clients, I mean, we have videos that we put up a year, 2 years ago that are still on page one, that are still, you know, when prospects are searching, showing up and driving traffic to their business. So not only do you want to stay consistent, but, boy, you will be rewarded for months, ideally years down the road if you do it right without any additional effort.
Well, look, I see that all the time, and you know, I'm not a video fan in that I get bored very quickly. So a video for me has to almost be a how-to. You know, I'm actually looking for information, and you touched on that, you know, earlier, and I wanted to kind of go back to that. I mean, I will go. I've got a what's that Total Home Gym? You know, the Chuck Norris thing. Love that thing. Love it. Love it. Love it. Hated the instructions that came with it. You know, the little cards, it's like, really? I'm sweating, I'm bleeding sweat into my eyes here. I can't read that print. This is not working.
Oh, jeez.
It's just insane. I mean, it's a good idea, but it's not really practical. So I just set up a YouTube channel and hooked it up to my smart TV, and I can go into my YouTube channel and I can watch the videos that pertain to the exercises that I want to do. They're how-tos.
There you go.
You know, so, you know, there's an awful lot of that out there, and a lot of them are little local gyms. Some of them, you know, are, I would never meet them in real life. I would never go into their gym, but they've given me some great exercises.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for, you know, constant contact, if you want a how-to video, for instance, and you don't want to log in to Constant Contact, or you don't, you know, you just can't find it in Constant Contact, it's on YouTube. I promise you it is.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, YouTube is a great resource for how-tos.
Yeah, yeah. And so you, a couple things you brought up that I just want to give some guidance on, because you're right. You know, most have short attention spans, and it's really hard. I mean, unless someone's really, really interested in a certain product or service to keep them watching for more than a few minutes. So.
Yeah.
Big mistake a lot of business owners make when they first get into it is they just go on and on with their videos, and what should have been a 1 minute video becomes a 5 or 6 or 10 minute video. So less is more in video. If
right.
if you're trying to make 3 points, make 3 videos. Cover point number 1 in the first video, point number 2 in the second, point number 3 in the third. So now you have more videos that you can focus on different keywords or all on the same keyword and really dominate, and it's going to take less time, and people are going to watch each one individually versus click off on the first one after, you know, a minute or whatever it is. The kind of the guidelines that I give to folks is 1 to 2 minutes, unless there's a compelling reason to keep the video longer. And one good compelling reason is that it's a sales video. You know, I'm not going to be able to sell you on a $200 widget probably with a 1 minute video. Certainly not a $5,000 consulting package with a 1 minute video. So you've got, you know, for stuff like that, it's like the rule with a long form sales letter. It's however long it takes you to make the case to get them to commit to purchasing is however long the video needs to be. But general lead gen videos, lead generation videos that you want to have appear on page one of Google and knock your competition off somewhere near 1 to 2 minutes. A quick opening, you know, pull me in. It's a headline. It's why do I want to watch this until the end? And then say what you need to say. Get off the stage. End it with a reason to go to your website, a reason to call you, and to take some kind of action so that you can capture their information along the way, and then put them in your marketing funnel.
Right. I mean, anything beyond about 3 minutes, I'm out the door. I get it's just too tedious for me, and I can't for a moment think that I'm alone in that.
No, in Google, last time I checked, there's the average click-off rate is somewhere between 2 and 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So you're dead on.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, so now I can hear our audience going, okay, this is great. What equipment do I use? How much is this going to cost me? What do I do? And we're running out of time. We always do this. But that's okay. We're going to keep, because we always have so much to talk about. But we're going to keep on going. We'll lose this streaming, but we'll keep on recording. If you've got a few extra minutes.
I'm good.
Okay.
So, equipment, great, great question. A lot better off than when I started back in 1990, where I had to mortgage the house to buy the equipment. So today, you're carrying it in your pocket. If you have a smartphone, if you have an iPad, you know, you've got now the means to record video. If you want to go a step further and spend $500 to $1,000, you can get a phenomenal video camera that will allow you to plug a wireless mic into it or even a wired mic, so you can get good audio. All right, but just getting started, just use what you have and begin filming. Now, the other version of that is, boy, I don't care what you say. There's no way I'm getting in front of the camera.
And that would be me.
There we go.
Seriously.
So my answer is, cool, that's fine. So one of the questions I'll ask those folks, and in your case, Denise, are there certain pictures that you like that we could use in place of you live? And sometimes it's no. So the other is, okay, what are we going to talk about? And then I'll get an answer, and then we go, okay, well, let's just create two or three or sometimes even one slide and do a voiceover for that. So many times, in fact, boy, if I need a video fast, I use Keynote, which is the Mac version of PowerPoint, but I'll just create some PowerPoint slides, plug a mic into the computer, and start talking. And a minute or two later, I'm done. And even better, for those of you who have bad memories like myself, I don't know how my son does it. I mean, he can just, you know, show up for work at 6 in the morning, get a day's worth of lines and monologues that are 3 pages long, and he reviews it, and then he gets in front of the camera and then just gets every word right. I mean, I'd be there. We'd be filming the first episode for 5 years if that were me. So what I like about doing the on-screen, when we're talking about the slide videos, is the slides can actually be the words you want to say. So there's no forgetting lines or trying to remember. Boy, the first few times I started doing video, I put myself in front of the camera, and I was doing it all. I was a one-man show. And what was supposed to be like a two-minute video was taking me like 3 hours to film because I keep forgetting what to say, or I'd say it wrong.
You needed a cue girl with the little cue cards.
But then I'm like looking down at the cards, and it was obvious, it's just a mess. So you don't have to do that if you do the on-screen slides, and or even if you just want to show a few pictures while you're talking, you just print out your script if you want to and read it, and no one will know any better. So it gets a heck of a lot easier, and the software you can use to do that, if you're not familiar with screen capture software, and there's some free versions out there, but if you're going to do this right, I'd recommend either getting a program called Camtasia, C-A-M-T-A-S-I-A. Just Google that and you'll find the web address. I think it's like techsmith.com or net. And that's a great application for PCs. And I'm a Mac guy and I use ScreenFlow. Same deal. Google that. It's like a $99 program, I know ScreenFlow is, that allows you to, I use it from not only for recording videos, but when I screen capture videos, and guys, just so you know, screen capture video is simply, you take your computer screen, whatever's on that screen, it captures that image. So if you put a PowerPoint slide on your screen and start talking about that, and then switch to the next slide and start talking about that slide, that's what the recording will create. If you want to show web pages, I mean, anything you can put on your screen, you can, in essence, create a video with, all right? If you want to do a Skype interview, you could record the person on Skype and so forth. So a lot you can do with that, and I'll even use this really inexpensive software to edit videos that I record on my standard handheld $500 video camera. All right, so there's some pretty cool things you could do, and it's quick and fast, and in a matter of minutes you can have it uploaded to YouTube and working for your business.
Right. Now, a couple of years ago, I lost my train of thought there for a second. A couple of years ago, maybe three even, all the rage was those little flip cameras. Everybody had a flip camera. And that's one way of doing it. If you have a flip camera, do that. If you're going to record from your little digital camera, do yourself a favor and get a little tripod. Seriously, get a tripod. You know, the last thing you want to do is be, you know, trying to explain something to somebody and your audience is getting nauseous.
Absolutely. You gotta film with the viewer in mind, and if it's kind of being jostled around, but if the background's distracting, so if you happen to be outside and there's traffic behind you or people walking behind you, people will miss you and your message and start looking at stuff behind you. So it's always good to put yourself in front of a solid wall as an example, and something that is not distracting whatsoever.
Exactly. Charlie, I have to ask you, what is the 10 plus for one bonus. What is that?
Oh, boy. This is the bonus that you get when you use video and when you record video. So if you write an article and if you write a blog post, you know, it's kind of once and done. You write a special report. It works for a while, and then you're done. What I like about video is you can use it so many different ways. And just a quick 10 of the plus. I mean, there's way more. But you think about it. If you record a video today, that becomes an MP3. So for audio download on your website or as a giveaway or as a bonus, it becomes an MP4 you can put up on YouTube. Or, again, it could be a giveaway. It could be part of your video series. It becomes a PDF if you have it transcribed.
Right.
It can be a blog post. Again, if you have it transcribed, make it a blog post as well. Or forget about the transcription. Just embed the YouTube video onto your blog. A very, very, very important. In fact, don't ever just put a video on YouTube. You always want to also put it on your blog as well for
and
SEO
Pinterest.
Juice.
Shoot it over to Pinterest.
Yep. All the social medias.
Google Plus, everywhere.
You want to put it out there. That video can be turned into a CD. So you don't have to use the visual side of it. It can just be a CD that you put in your shock and awe package, or again, you know, various other ways. Could be a bonus for a product that you offer. Turn it into a DVD. Same deal. Put it in your shock and awe package. Well, Charlie, why a CD and a DVD? I absolutely put both in there because some folks want to just pop this in the car when they're driving, and others might want to pop it in the computer and watch. So don't think you have to choose from one or the other. Put them both in there. Special report, again, transcription, product. Your videos, even though they're free and on YouTube, let's say you create a series of videos, they could be a product. Why would someone pay for videos that they could get for free on YouTube? One, they don't know that, and not that you want to keep it secret, but two, they value their time, and therefore they're more than willing to pay for those because you've organized them for them. Email sequences. All right, so you've got that video. It's on YouTube. It's on your blog. Don't just end it there when you're creating your autoresponders, when people opt in. Continually remind them of certain videos that you've created and send them to the blog post to see. So you don't have to recreate the video. Just summarize the video and send them to the blog post. A friend of mine actually created a book from all his videos over a period of time. He just sent his VA a note, said, review all the videos on this page. Here are the transcriptions. Make each video a chapter or whatever.
Put
it was.
Put them on Kindle.
And over a period of time.
Kindle. Right.
A few weeks later, voila, Kindle book, hard copy book. He's on to the next video. Those are 10 or 11 that I covered, and there are more applications that you can use video. But, boy, there's no other medium out there that you do it once and can be used so many different ways. And you can also reverse that as well. So if you out there who are wondering, well, the first one's always the toughest, what do I do? Well, if you have blog posts, if you have articles, if you've written newsletter articles, make a video out of those. How do I do that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, just read the dang article. Done.
Well, and it doesn't matter if the article is a year or two old. If you're writing properly, they're evergreen anyway.
Yep.
You know, I always try to write to where the information I'm giving is not so industry specific or not so technology specific that it is evergreen.
Yep.
Or you can go back and grab a blog post that's a year or two old and just update it and then turn that into a video.
Yep. All right, so I don't have a blog post. I've never written an article in my life. Now what? I'll find someone else's. Give them credit, of course, but just reference. I mean, you'd be the news reporter. You'd be the Larry King.
Oh,
okay?
Good idea.
So there are, and I can give you more, better, easier ways to create video. I've heard every objection and argument for why someone couldn't do it, and I've yet to be stumped. So there you go. A lot of different ways to get the job done.
I love it. So basically, people need to create a channel. They should brand their channel, I think. But that's
Absolutely.
Just, you know, me being the social media person
Absolutely.
That I am.
Yep.
But brand it. Make sure that everything that anybody who is visiting your channel needs to know about you is there. Don't assume that because you know it, they know it. That's a huge mistake. and then just start uploading as much information as you can that is pertinent to your audience and that makes sense and that is resourceful, right?
Yeah, yeah. Anything that you can put out there that provides value to your audience qualifies.
I agree. It's a lot of people think, oh, I don't have anything to talk about. It's all about me. It's really not. You know, I find that marketing is about the person who's listening to you. You know, they want to know how you can help them, like you said earlier, how you can solve the pain. You know, what's they really, honestly, they just need to know what's in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once people get past that, oh, I don't have anything to say, or, oh, my God, you know, my hair looks funny today. It's really not about you. It's about what you can deliver to your audience, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
If you can help them, which I think is really why we're all in business,
mm-hmm.
Why keep it to yourself? And
right.
One of the big mistakes that many business owners make is they just assume that because they've taken all this information for granted that everyone else is aware of it, and that is not the case. So you're not creating this video to be all things to all people. All right, you're creating the video. Each video should be individualized for your target audience. Know who your who is and speak to that person. All right,
mm-hmm.
And that person is out there. They're waiting for you to help them. You just have to meet them halfway.
Oh, no question about it. And you said something earlier about you kind of repurposing, you know, do you want to make a DVD or a CD or a Kindle book? Here's the thing, and I think a lot of people just don't grasp this. You may have an audience on your blog. You may have an audience on your YouTube channel. But people make the mistake of limiting themselves to who they know their audience is. You shouldn't do that. You should always deliver your material in as many ways as you can, in as many channels as you can, because your audience is all over the place. You don't know who they are, really.
Right,
so you need to make it available everywhere.
Yeah, and there are folks who learn and like to read information.
Yeah.
Others that like to watch. Yeah. Others that like to hear. So you know that's another reason why I talked about the CD, DVD for your
mm-hmm.
shock and awe package, because you can't make the assumption that everyone prefers a CD, because there are folks who want to be able to see, and if you have both in there, you cover all bases. And the same
right.
thing here. Get that information
right.
out there, and don't assume that just because, oh, you sent me a link to listen to the video or watch the video, that I wouldn't be interested in reading the report from the video.
Right, right. Give you an example of how that works. I'm a voracious reader. I've got over 3,000 books, physical books. I have close to that same number on my Kindle. I mean, I read all of the time. I know, so I don't sleep. I think I'm always reading. but it's a passion. I love to read. I can't imagine not being able to read. And to be honest with you, I resisted having a Kindle for the longest kind of time. Because
yeah,
I love
yeah.
books. I like to smell them.
Yeah.
I like to crack that spine. I like to annotate them. I mean, books are critical for my health and well-being. So, but once I, you know, went over to the dark side and got my Kindle, I discovered a whole another way to read books. But, and you said something very important, I've been reading a couple of books this last couple of weeks. One was Brendan Bouchard, The Charge. One was Sally Hogshead, The Fascinate. And I have them. I have them in hard copy, and I read them both. I'm like, oh, these are really great books. They didn't really resonate with me until I downloaded them in Audible. Now, go figure. Charlie, I promise you, I've been going to bed at night with my iPad, Audible. I've been listening to Brendan Bouchard for a week, the same all night. It's like subliminal. You know, I wake up all night long. I'm like, ooh, okay, I heard that. And I go back to sleep. I am absolutely fascinated. So every night for the past week, I have been listening to these books in my sleep. I mean, I'm that fascinated
Very
with
cool.
them. But when I read them, they didn't grab me the way they should have.
Yeah.
Or maybe the timing was wrong. I don't know. But we all learn differently at different times. I'm a reader.
Yep.
So for me to hear these books, it's been an eye-opener for me. But
Very
you never know. I mean, you have to pay attention to what you're interested in at the time, whether it's video, whether it's a Kindle book. you know, whether it's a PDF, whatever it is, you have to make that available to your audience because, like with Larry Wingate is one of my favorite authors. I have his books in hard copy. I have them in Audible, audible.com, because I want them, you know, I want it every way I can get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make that available, don't you?
You do. You do. I mean, you don't have to, but
you should.
Certainly, yeah. There's no in this day and age, there's no reason not to. And if you do that, you just demonstrated, boy, what it can do for your business to really attract those who you've not been able to attract in the past. And partly it's because you just weren't aware of it. You know, I think we all tend to think that our customers are like us, and if we learn a certain way or if we like certain things, they will too. And that's so not the case.
That is exactly, and I think that's where I was trying to get. I was reading another book that I downloaded on Kindle. I would kill for this book to be an Audible. This is how much I love this book. I am almost prepared to record the darn thing myself. Seriously. Go to freeconferencecalling.com, record it, and then listen to it in my sleep.
Lesson out there for those of you written books is, there's another product there for you guys. If you have a book and you don't have an audio version, or if you want to add a bonus to increase sales, there you go. And you're willing to do the voiceover for everyone, right? Is that what you just said?
No. I don't think I could. I don't have to. Oh, man, nobody can ever hear me. That's a big problem. My voice is too soft for that. But if you ever need a voiceover, call me. I'll do it for you.
Well, thank you.
Well, listen, thank you for staying over. I know I've been taking up a lot of your time. Where can people find you again?
Yep. You can find me hanging out at Ben Results, B as in boy, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, results.com. And that's the best place. That's the best hangout.
And Facebook, they can find you on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you're coming back one day, right?
I'm coming back?
Yes. It wasn't a question. it was an invitation, but you're coming back, right?
Wow, after the way I started, never being invited back again, this is an additional invite? Man,
yes.
I'm going to quit right now.
Yeah, I love talking with you. But before I go, I have an observation.
Yes.
You said that when you had to bump up your fitness membership and you took your baby in your arms, do you think that might be the genesis of, do you think you did this to him? my next question was he also in the studio with you and your wife when you were recording? Because, his career may be...
My wife and I were talking about that just last week, how he was at every filming, because we virtually lived at the clubs. And we were just, saying, geez, we wonder how much of an effect it had. And the answer is... absolutely, positively had a big effect. We also used, and so we have three kids. Troy's our oldest, and we have Aaron and Grace, just 2 years apart. But we used our kids whenever we could in our marketing. So our newspaper ads had them in it, various. We did some TV commercials, and so for those of you who have children and you want to stand out again, it does a lot. Not only does it make you a much more family-oriented, personal business, differentiates you from the competition. People love kids for the most part, and if you don't have kids, if you have pets, dogs, and all that, all of that very, very effective in breaking away, standing out in your marketing, and it worked well for our kids, and even led to potentially maybe a Hollywood career.
I think
funny.
You can pretty
you
well
brought
take
that,
up. That one to the bank. I think, he can go, I just found the genesis of my career.
Yeah, funny.
But you're right. There's a local mobile home dealership here. It's been around they're way out in the boonies. Of course, I should say that. I live way out in the boonies, but these people are way, way out there. And they have been on TV for years with their little commercials, and I'll call them hokey because they are. And I've watched those kids grow up.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, I mean, I recognize, and they're adults now, and I recognize them because I've seen them in commercials since they were little bitty.
You become part of the family. And then when it comes time, you know, for that product or service, it's like, well, you're going to naturally at least check in with your family before you make a decision. So
that's exactly right. So it's a very smart decision. Charlie, it is always such a joy to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Appreciate it, Denise. Thanks for inviting me again.
Anytime. I really definitely want you to come back after the first of the year. I know we have plenty to talk about. Okay.
We might have to make that a 2-hour show.
We may have to. Oh, you know what? We'll put it on video. Who knows?
You'll
be on video. I'll be talking. I'll be on video.
That's great.
I can talk. I don't want it to be on camera. Well, listen, everybody. I'm camera phobic to an alarming degree, and that's all I've got to say about that. But anyway, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and this is Denise Griffiths and the fabulous Charlie McDermott wishing you a wonderful weekend. Charlie, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Denise. Take care, everyone.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeonthewebcom or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.